One of the few things that I found difficult about living in a place as far north as Carlisle was how dark the winter was. At this time of year, the sun barely seemed to come up. And for people living much further north, seasonal affective disorder includes a range of symptoms such as depression caused by a lack of light. Some people like the dark, usually for limited periods of time, but there's a lot we don't like about the dark. I don't like bumping into things. In our house, I often tread on things, and in the dark, I'm even more likely to break something or hurt my foot. Sometimes in this building, I'm the last to leave at night, and once I've turned the lights off, I walk all the way through to the back in pitch dark. I don't feel spooked by that. I know a lot of people do, especially then going through the door and out through the graveyard. Probably in a place like Crowborough, there's nothing to be afraid of, but if we're walking in darkness along a street with no streetlights, there are good reasons to be wary of falling into a ditch or getting attacked. Walking in darkness can be an experience of fear. And our text for this evening, Isaiah 9 verse 2 from the first reading, says something about the people who walked in darkness, those who lived in a land of deep darkness. Of course, a land of deep darkness is not literally a place where the sun doesn't shine like Norway at the moment. We might say today, North Korea is a land of deep darkness. 75 years ago, a deep darkness spread over Europe. A man called Isaiah of Jerusalem wrote these words in a time when Israel was a land of darkness. The mighty army of Assyria was about to sweep through like a flood, as if the great river, the Euphrates, were overflowing its banks, and the dark waters pouring over Israel like a flood. Isaiah was a prophet, and he saw the Assyrians coming south into the land of Judah as if the flood came right up to their neck. The city of Jerusalem on a hill was surrounded but miraculously saved. But then 100 years later, the Babylonian army surrounded Jerusalem, and this time it fell, and they took the people into exile. This was God's judgment on the people for their spiritual darkness. They had forgotten God's covenant. They had disregarded his laws. They had worshipped false gods. And so, just as he had warned, God was turning his back on them. Isaiah said God was hiding his face. The people didn't know God's blessing. They just felt his abandonment. Darkness. And in those days, the kind of thing people were saying was in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, just before this evening's text. Isaiah said, "Now, if people say to you, 'Consult the ghosts and the familiar spirits that chirp and mutter,' should not a people consult their gods, the dead, on behalf of the living, for teaching and for instruction? Surely those who speak like this will have no dawn." I think there are people in this room right now who feel this kind of darkness. Is that you? Do you feel abandoned, alone, in the dark? You can't see where you're going, and you can't see anyone that cares. It's a lonely place. Children in the dark are often afraid something might be under the bed. The thing that was, when the bedroom light was on, a dressing gown hanging on the door, might now, in the shadows, be a monster. ghosts might be just around the corner. But it's not only children that encounter ghosts. An adult who's lost a loved one can feel so alone, so in the dark, that the offer of a medium, a spiritualist, a fortune teller, can seem irresistible. In the light of day, a man might have warned others that such people are con artists, or that those routes are dead ends, or more dangerous still. He might have repeated the Bible's warnings against trying to contact the dead or the spirit world as forbidden things. But then, when he misses his wife in the dark of night, the promise of meeting again the one he loves offers a break from the pain. Illegal drugs can do the same for other people. Prescription drugs can help lighten the darkness for some people and can deepen the darkness. In the news last week was how self-harming is on the increase in Britain, especially amongst teenage boys, a physical expression of emotional pain which somehow feels as though it will let the darkness out. What does all this have to do with Christmas, you may be thinking? It doesn't sound very Christmassy. The 25th of December is probably not the actual date of Christ's birth, but what an appropriate date to celebrate it. At the very darkest point of the year, we look back to what the prophet looked forward to. Isaiah spoke in the past tense, even though he was talking about a future event, because God revealed it to him so clearly he could say he had seen it happen, and he was so sure it would happen he could describe it as done. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Something has dawned. It's almost like a repeat of creation. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The darkness of exile Isaiah foresaw would come to an end as God brought his people back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple. It was like a dream for those exiles coming back out of the darkness, Babylon, into the promised land again. But that was not all. Isaiah seems to be pointing to a greater light. This comes when a child is born with authority on his shoulders. That baby in the manger is the light of the world. No longer is God hiding his face from his people. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. No more guessing in the dark as to what God is like. The light reveals God. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. There were shepherds watching their flocks by night in the dark. Suddenly the glory of the Lord shone around. Light filled the sky because the light had been born. When this baby grew up, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This means eternal life. This means a future without darkness. No more fear, no more confusion, no more loneliness ultimately. So for every individual who meets Jesus, he shines his light into their hearts. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I've seen this happen time and again, as I've had the privilege of leading Christianity Explored again and again in the last few years in Crowborough. People coming to know Jesus and their lives lighting up. Janet spoke at the festival about how God helped her cope with the death of her husband. She spoke about the difference Jesus makes to her life, giving her a purpose in life and a hope beyond death, light in her life. Hard as it may seem to hear this, there is no need to try and contact the dead. Jesus has risen from the dead. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he healed a blind man. He opened that man's eyes, and so that man experienced light in a new way. And many people were drawn to Jesus as he did things like that and said things like it. But some people turned against Jesus. They found the light blinding them like dazzling sunlight. Now the question for each one of us is, how will we respond to the light? A man told me the other day about a time when he was driving his car over the South Downs. It was not just dark, it was thick fog. So he couldn't see where he was going. It was as though he was profoundly in deep darkness. He was driving his car all on his own, but suddenly he felt a hand on his shoulder. And he stopped the car, he got out, and discovered that he wasn't on the main road he thought he was on. He had driven right up to a quarry and stopped the car just short of tumbling over the edge. Now, what do you think he did next when he got back into the car? Do you think he just started the engine and drove forward the way he was going before he stopped? Well, no, of course he didn't. The truth about his position had been revealed to him. He turned around and drove to safety. So if you and I have seen the light of the world shining in the darkness, what will we do next?